help me to say the things you would have me to say. Help me to preach, Lord, with your boldness. Father, I pray your Spirit would come upon me and help me, Lord, to be able to teach in regards to what we're teaching about this morning. I pray you'd help everybody here to be attentive. Help us to be able to learn something from your word and know that you've met with us this morning. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Revelation chapter number 20, and there's so much that could be said from this chapter, and I've preached multiple times out of Revelation 20, Revelation 21, and a lot of different passages in the book of Revelation, but tonight I'm not preaching on end times prophecy this morning. You can come on Friday night for that if you'd like, but this morning I want to teach kind of an informational teaching type sermon. I just want to talk about a very specific thing this morning and kind of teach you in regards to it and what the Bible says. And this morning I want to deal with one subject, and I want to teach about one subject. I want to teach you about something in the Bible that is entitled the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. Who's ever heard of the Lamb's Book of Life before? And if you don't raise your hand, you're fine. We're not going to think any less of you. All right. And this is exactly why I want to preach about it. A lot of people have never heard of this thing called the Lamb's Book of Life. And I want to teach you a few things about it. Now, you're there in Revelation chapter number 20. Flip back in your Bibles there to Revelation chapter number 17 real quickly. Revelation chapter number 17, and let me show you a verse here. You say, well, you know, let's just begin with this. What is the Lamb's Book of Life? The Lamb's Book of Life is a book, the Bible teaches us, that every believer, every person who is saved, every person who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, has their name written in that book. And if your name is in that book, then you're saved. If your name's in that book, then you will go to heaven when you die. If your name's not in that book, then the Bible tells us that you're not saved. Let me show that to you. You're there in Revelation chapter 17. Look at verse number 8 real quickly. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8, the Bible says the beast. Now the beast is referring to the Antichrist. You've got to understand, we're reading the book of Revelation right now, so we're dealing with prophecy in the future. It says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And those are all things that have to do with end times prophecy. But that beast, the Antichrist, notice what it says. And they that dwell, the word dwell means to live or inhabit. It says, they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. Notice, they shall wonder. So they'll be considering. They'll be thinking about this beast. They'll be wondering about this Antichrist. But notice what it says. Who will be wondering about the Antichrist? It says, they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder. Notice what it says. Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Do you see that? So the Bible says the beast is going to come one day. The Antichrist is going to come one day. And he's going to pique the attention. He's going to grab the attention of this world. And this world is going to wonder about this beast. And they're going to think about this beast. And they're going to consider this beast. But the Bible says only those whose names were not written in the book of life. Did you see that? Go to Revelation 13 real quickly. Revelation 13, look at verse number 8. Revelation chapter number 13 and verse number 8. Revelation 13 and verse 8, the Bible says, and all that dwell upon the earth, Revelation 13, 8 says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, referring to the Antichrist, referring to the beast. They say they'll worship him. Notice what it says, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Do you see that? So who are those who will worship the Antichrist? Who are those who will worship the beast? Who are those who will wonder at the beast? The Bible is very clear. Those whose names are not written in the book of life. Now keep your finger there in Revelation because we're coming right back to it. But go to Matthew in your New Testament. Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter number 24. And look at verse number 24. Matthew chapter number 24. And look at verse number 24. Now this kind of goes with Wednesday night's Bible study. So for those of you that were here on Wednesday night, you'll be able to relate to this or see it. Remember on Wednesday night we were talking about the fact that when you're saved, there are certain things that you cannot do. There are certain things that you will not do. And if you do those things, then what that shows us is just that you weren't saved, all right? And one of those things is this. Are you there in Matthew chapter 24? Verse number 24. Matthew 24 is what's considered the Olivet Discourse. It's the Lord Jesus Christ teaching us about end times prophecy. And in Matthew 24, verse 24, the Bible says, "There shall arise false Christ." You see that? Who is that? That's the Antichrist. Who is that? And that's plural, but we know that there's a man, the Antichrist. There's a man, the beast. Notice what it says. "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders." They're going to do miracles. They're going to do great things. Look what it says. Last part of verse 24. "Insomuch that if..." Notice the word "if." "Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Alright, do you see that? Now the elect is referring to those who are saved. The Bible says that there will come false antichrist, and it says they're going to be so good. The beast and the false prophet, the antichrist and his false prophet, they're going to be so good at what they do. They're going to be so good at playing the part of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. But we gather from that verse that it's not possible to deceive the very elect. You understand that? At the end times, anyone who is saved, anyone who has their name written in the book of life, will not worship the beast. They will not take the mark of the beast. And the Bible is very clear that those who worship the beast and those who take the mark immediately lose the opportunity to be saved, is what the Bible teaches. You take the mark, you're condemned to hell forever. So no Christian, because we obviously, and I don't have time to preach this morning, but we believe in eternal security. Once you're saved, you're always saved. The Bible says you cannot lose your salvation. So we know that, you know, if no one whose name is in the book of life worships the Antichrist, and Matthew 24 tells us, well, if it were possible, they'd deceive the very elect, but it's not possible to deceive the elect, then you got to understand that those whose names are not written in the book of life are not saved. That was the long explanation of showing you that. Let me show it to you just real quickly. Go back to Revelation chapter 20. Remember I told you to keep your place there in Revelation 20? Look at verse number 12, Revelation chapter 20. And we're going to come back to this passage at the end of the sermon. But let me just show you this real quickly. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books," now notice, the books, plural, "were opened. And another book," singular, do you see that? "Was opened, which is the book of life." Do you see that? So what was the singular book that was open? The book of life. "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books," plural. Do you see that? So there's books, and the dead are being judged from those books. And then there's the book, which is the book of life. "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works." Verse 14, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life," do you see that? "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The lake of fire is referring to hell. So the Bible is very clear that when this book is opened, the book of life, if your name is not found written in the book of life, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. I'm showing you this to prove you, and you should already kind of be aware of this, but go to Philippians real quickly. You're going to go towards the left in your New Testament there, Philippians. Philippians, if you find those 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, Timothy, right before that you've got Colossians, right before that you've got the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4, look at verse number 3. Philippians chapter number 4, verse 3, the Bible's very clear about this. Your name's not in the book of life, you go to the lake of fire. Your name's not in the book of life, and you happen to be here during the time of the Antichrist, you will worship the beast, you will take the mark of the beast. Your name is in the book of life, then you're not going to go to hell. Your name is in the book of life, then you are saved. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. Philippians 4, 3 says, "And I entreat thee," this is the Apostle Paul speaking through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and he says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers." Notice how the Apostle Paul describes these fellow laborers, these soul winners who labored with him in the gospel. He says, "Whose names are written in the book of life." Do you see that? Amen. So if you're saved, your name's in the book of life. If you're not saved, your name is not in the book of life. At the day of judgment, the great white throne, the Bible says that book will be opened. If your name's in the book, you go to heaven. If your name is not in the book, you're cast into the lake of fire. Does that make sense? You with me so far? Now that should be pretty easy to understand. That's what the book of life is. Now, I want to expose something to you about the book of life that's not generally known or believed by Christianity. Go back to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus is the second book in the Bible. So you've got the book of Genesis and you've got the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 32. And I want to ask you this question. And I'm going to ask you, before I ask you the question, I'm going to ask you to just be open-minded. And I'm going to ask you to do this. Set aside any preconceived ideas. Set aside anything you've ever been taught. And just allow the Bible to teach you what it is about the subject that we need to understand. Because here's my question. My whole life, and probably those of you who raised your hand saying, those of you who said you never heard of the book of life, you're fine. We're going to teach it to you the right way. But those of you who raised your hand saying you've been taught about the book of life, more than likely, you were taught, and I know I was taught growing up, that when you get saved, your name is written in the book of life. Now, my question is this. If when you get saved, your name is written in the book of life, should not the Bible tell us that? The Bible should explain that to us, correct? Now, there's only 10 references in the entire Bible that talk about the book of life. And I want us to just look at all of them quickly. Because there's only 10 references in regards to the book of life. So out of those 10 references, one of them ought to be able to tell us, and one of them ought to be able to teach us that your name gets written in at the time of salvation. Correct? Are you with me? Do you understand what we're saying? We're doing a little bit of deductive reasoning, I guess. Exodus 32. Are you there? Exodus 32. In Exodus 32, you find the first and second mention to the book of life. Now, if you were with us on Wednesday nights when we preached through the book of Exodus, you may remember that in Exodus 32, Exodus 31 and 32, Moses has come down from Mount Sinai. Remember, he was up in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, meeting with God. He got the stone tablets there. God showed him the tabernacle, and God showed him all the furniture for the tabernacle. And when Moses comes down, what were the people doing? They were dancing, they were naked, and they were worshiping a golden calf. Do you remember that? Moses gets upset and he melts the golden calf. He actually makes the people drink the melted gold from the golden calf. And he just starts, they killed people that were in idolatry. This was a big event in Israelite history up to this point. And it got so bad that God had actually said to Moses, he said, Moses, just step aside. I'm going to destroy these people. He said, they're a stubborn people. He said, I'm going to destroy them for their sin. And he said, and God said to Moses, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Instead of Moses saying, okay, God, Moses, as any good leader should, begins to intercede for the people. And notice what he says in verse number 32. We'll look at verse 31. It says, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Notice verse 32. Yet now, this is Moses speaking to God. He says, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin. So he's saying, God, I know they messed up. God, I know these people have done something horrible. But he says, if you will forgive your sin. Do you see that slash there? I'm sure there's a name for that. I don't know what it is. That's a pause. He says, if thou shalt forgive their sin. And then notice, he says, and if not. He says, God, if you're not going to forgive their sins, if you're going to just destroy these people right now, notice what he says. And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. You see that? Moses said, God, if you're not going to forgive these people, then I don't want you to forgive me. He said, blot me out of the book that thou hast written. First reference to the book of life in the Bible. And I want you to notice, the first reference, you find Moses asking for his name to be blotted out, not written in. Look at verse 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, so this is God responding, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Do you see that? So God is telling Moses, Moses, I'm not going to blot you out of my book. But he said, I'll tell you who I will blot out of my book, those who sin against me. Do you see that? So you got the first reference, somebody saying, blot me out of the book. You got the second reference, someone is saying, blot me out of the book. Go to Psalm 69. Psalm 69, and if you just open up your Bible, just write smack down in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Go to Psalm 69. Psalm 69, and we're going to look at a lot of Bible this morning, but you should be used to that if you've been here before. That's what we do around here. We look at a lot of Bible because that's what you need, is the Word of God. Psalm 69, look at verse number 28. Psalm 69, look at verse number 28. Here we find the third reference to the Book of Life. Psalm 69, verse number 28, the Bible says this, "Let them be blotted out of the Book of the Living." Do you see that? Does it say let them be written in? No. It says let them be blotted out of the Book of the Living and not be written with the righteous. So if you're written in the book, who are you written with? You're written with the righteous. But he says let them be blotted out of the Book of the Living. Go to Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. We already read it, but I'm just going to read it to you again because I want you to see every single time that the Bible refers to the Book of Life. So the first three references all happen to mention someone's name being blotted out of the book. Did you catch that? Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 3 is the fourth mention. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 3 is the fourth mention, and it says this. It says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers." Notice what it says. "Whose names are in the book of life." Did you see that? Whose names are in the book of life. Now, let me ask you this. Does it say that their names were being written in the book of life? Doesn't say that. It says their names are in the book of life. I want you to see that. We've got to understand that. Go to Revelation. Revelation chapter number 13. Now, we've seen these verses as well, but I just want you to see them again, okay? I just want to be very thorough this morning. Revelation 13. Now, let me tell you this, okay? The Revelation 13 is the sixth reference. We just saw the fourth reference in Philippians. Revelation 13 is the sixth reference. And Revelation chapter 3 is the fifth reference. We're going to come back to that in just a minute, okay? So, again, I'm just trying to be very upfront with you because I want you to see this in the biblical concept. We're skipping the fifth reference for now, but we're going to come right back to it as soon as we go through these references, okay? Revelation 13:8. We already read it. Let's read it again. Here's the sixth reference to the book of life. Revelation 13:8. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Any reference to anybody's name being written in? No. What does it say? Their names were not written in the book of life. Do you see that? Go to Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Look at verse 8. Revelation 17. Verse 8. Revelation 17, verse 8. The Bible says, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not." We already saw this verse, but I want you to see it again. "And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they shall dwell on the earth. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is." So there we have the seventh reference to the book of life. Does it mention anyone's name being written in the book? No, it does not. What does it say? Whose names were not written in the book of life. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse number 12. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. We'll find the eighth reference to the book of life. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." So there we find a reference to the book of life. It says there was a book, which is the book of life. Does it mention anyone's name being written in the book? No, it does not. It doesn't mention anything at all. It just refers to the book itself. Skip down to verse number 15, same chapter. We've already seen these. Verse 15, same chapter. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So there it says there are people whose names were not found written in the book. Does it say anybody's names were written in the book of life? No, it does not. Revelation 22. We'll look at the 10th and last reference to the book of life in the Bible. Revelation chapter number 22. Look at verse 19. Now, if any verse says that there are names being written in the book, it should be this verse, right? Because this is the last one. Revelation 22:19. Let's see what it says. It says, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." So here it tells us that someone's part was taken out of the book of life. Did you see that? Now let's go back to that fifth reference, Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Revelation chapter number 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, Revelation chapter number 3 and verse 5, it says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, And I will not, notice what it says, I will not blot out His name out of the book of life, but I will confess His name before my Father and before His angels. Does that verse say that anybody's name is being written in the book? No, it does not. He says, I will not blot out my name. And we're going to talk about that in a second. So here's what you got to understand. 10 verses in the Bible teach about the book of life. 4 made references to names being blotted out. 1 made a reference to names not being written in the book. 3 made references to names not being found in the book. 1 made a reference to the book itself. 1 made a reference to someone's part being taken out of the book. And 0 references to names being written in the book. Did you catch that? Said, so, well, Pastor, I was taught in Sunday school. Well, that's the problem. I was taught by this person, and I was taught by that person. And I was taught that when you get saved, your name gets written in the book. And here's the question. I was taught that too. But here's the question. Where is that in the Bible? It's not there. We just looked at all 10 references. And not one time does any verse refer to being your name being written in the book of life. Revelation 3:5. Let's look at this real quick. Now, actually, before we... Let's read Revelation 3:5 again. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out His name out of the book of life, but I will confess His name before my Father and before His angels. So here's the thing. Revelation chapter number 3 and verse 5 is referring to when you're saved. When it says this verse, this phrase here, he that overcometh, that means someone who got saved. Now, let me explain that, because, like I said, at Verity Baptist Church, we don't stand up here and just tell you, this is what we believe, because we're Baptists. We teach you what the Bible says. And by the way, if Baptists believe something wrong and it's not in the Bible, guess what? Our loyalty is with the Bible, not with a name. Do you understand that? So let's go to, real quickly, to John. John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. Because the Bible says here, he that overcometh. Did you catch that? He that overcometh. Now there are those who will say, see, if you're going to be saved, you've got to overcome. So you've got to, then they'll say, that's work salvation right there. Because you got to overcome all the sin. And you got to overcome, you know, this world. And you got to be better than that. And if at the end of your life you overcame, then God is going to save you. Well, again, what does the Bible say? Let's allow the Bible to define itself for us. Are you there? John chapter 16, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Fourth book in the New Testament. John chapter number 16, look at verse number 33. John chapter number 16, look at verse number 33. And you know, what we try to do at our church is preach different type of sermons. Today we're teaching a lot. And being informative. Sometimes we'll kick and scream and yell about sin. Sometimes we'll try to encourage you. Hey, we're just trying to give you different things. Try to serve you a different meal every week. John chapter number 16. Look at verse number 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. The Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Notice what He says. That in me ye might have peace. Notice what He says. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You see that? He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So the Bible tells us, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I have overcome the world. Go to 1 John in your New Testament. There towards the end of the Bible. If you find, right before the book of Revelation, you got a book of the book of Jude. It's one chapter. Right before the book of Jude, you've got the book of 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Look at verse number 4. 1 John chapter number 5 and look at verse 4. So the Bible says, he that overcometh. John tells us, the Lord Jesus Christ said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So if we're going to overcome the world, it's going to be with Jesus Christ, because He's the one that overcame the world. Are you there in 1 John chapter 5? Look at verse 4. 1 John chapter number 5, verse 4, the Bible says this, for whatsoever is born of God, that's talking about being saved. You ever heard this term before, being born again? So, for whatsoever is born of God, look what it says, overcometh the world. Do you see that? So how do you overcome the world? By being born of God. No, you overcome the world by not sinning. You overcome the world by repenting of your sins. You overcome the world by quitting your alcohol and quitting, you know, hey, you ought to quit your alcohol and you ought to quit your drug and you ought to quit lying and you ought to quit stealing. But that's not how you overcome the world. You overcome the world one way. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Look what it says. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our repenting of our sins. Is that what it says? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our living a good life. Is that what it says? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our turning over a new leaf. Is that what it says? This is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we accept Him as our Savior, they asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe. That word believe means faith. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And when you believe, the Bible says you overcame the world. Not because of any good thing you've ever done, but because, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, is what Jesus said. We overcome the world through Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? Go back to Revelation. Said all that to say this. Revelation 3:5 is talking about being saved. Not work salvation. I want to make that very clear. Revelation chapter number 3 and verse 5 says, he that overcometh. What is going to happen to he that overcometh? The same shall be clothed in white raiment. We know that when we get raptured up or when you die and go to heaven, the first thing they do is tell you to take all that immodest clothing you're wearing off, and God says, here, put this white robe on. I want you to dress modestly. That's what He says. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Notice what He says. And I will write His name in the book of life. Is that what it says? And I will not blot out His name out of the book of life, but I will confess His name before my Father and before His angels. I want you to understand this. The Bible says when you got saved, the Bible says when you overcame the world, God did not promise to write your name in the book. Here's what He promised: to not blot your name out of the book. You understand that? Say, Pastor, I'm a little confused. How does this whole thing work? Here's how it works. Go back to Psalm 69. We already saw it, but I want you to see it again. Does it, you know, I hope you understand. It doesn't hurt you to look at a Bible, right? I mean, that's good. I think that's what you came to church for. Study the Bible. Some of you came for the donuts, but we gave you donuts, so stick for the Bible. Psalm 69. Are you there yet? Psalm 69. Look at what it says. We saw it. You say, well, how does this whole thing work? The book of life. Here's what you got to understand. Number one, here's what the Bible, I believe, teaches, and I think you'll see it too. Everyone's name, whoever lived, anyone who's ever been born, anyone who's ever physically been alive, starts with their name in the book of life. Psalm 69, look at verse 28. Psalm 69, verse 28. Look what it says. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. Do you see that? So we, in the New Testament, it's referred to as the book of life. In the Old Testament, it's referred to as the book of the living. Okay? So we know that if you're living, your name's in the book. Does that make sense? Now you say, well, I thought people's names were in there if they were saved. Why does everyone's name begin by being in the book? Well, number one, we're not Harold Camping. I don't know if you know who Harold Camping is. Remember Harold Camping? I think a year ago he was predicting the world was going to end. You know? I think he was wrong. Maybe he'll be right in a couple weeks. I don't know. But he was wrong either way. So Harold Camping is a false prophet who has this radio program. And he teaches all sorts of heresies. He's a Calvinist. He's not saved. But here's one of the things that Harold Camping teaches. He teaches that babies, when they die, they go to hell. Because they didn't get saved. Now look, let me tell you something. What kind of sick, twisted God does Harold Camping think he worships, that God would send a baby to hell? The Bible, you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 33, do you remember when David's son died, his baby son, his child died, because of his adultery and because of his killing of Uriah the Hittite? Remember when they told him that he died? Here's what David said. He said, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Now here's the thing. Do you think King David's in heaven? I promise you he's in heaven. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ will reign on the throne of David. Okay? So if He's reigning on the throne of David, and God promised David that through his bloodline would come the Messiah, I'm pretty sure David was saved. And he's in heaven, and here's what David was saying. When his child died, he said, I will go to him, but he shall not return to me. You know what he's saying? He's saying, my son's in heaven, I'll see him one day. Okay, and that's just one reference that teaches us that babies go to heaven. But one of the reasons we believe that babies go to heaven is because of this. Their name's written in the book of life. You understand that? Their name's written in the book of life. You say, well, everybody's name is written in the book of life. Well, you got to understand this. The Bible tells us that God is not willing. 1 Peter 3:9. You don't have to turn there. The Bible tells us God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know that it is God's plan for every human being to be saved? The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world, and especially those who believe. So who does it affect? Those who believe. But guess what? It's available to everyone. If the Bible says, most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that who whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Bible tells us whosoever will may come. Hey, guess what? God wants everybody saved. Guess what? God wants everybody to go to heaven. God wants every soul. Everyone starts out with their name in the book. And that way you're guaranteed if your child dies, they're in heaven. Because their name's in the book. Because your name's got to be in the book for you to go to heaven. Now here's the thing. Notice no reference of any name being written in. No need. Because when you're born, your name's already there. Does that make sense? But there are many references to names being blotted out. Names being taken out. So you say, well, when do names get taken out of the book? Well, first of all, go back to Exodus 32. I know we saw this already, but I'm just showing it to you again because I'm going to show you something different out of the same verse. Exodus 32. When do names get written out of the book of life? When do names get blotted out of the book of life? Well, number one, your name is blotted out of the book of life if you die guilty of sin. If you die guilty of sin, your name's blotted out of the book. Look at verse number 33. Exodus 32, 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, look what the Lord says to Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Do you see that? So when does your name get blotted out? When you sin against God. You say, well, we all sin against God. But here's the thing. We all have a chance to be saved. When do we no longer have, when, for most of Christian, for most humans, I should say, not Christianity, humans. Go to Hebrews. Let me just show you the verses. Hebrews chapter 9. Towards the end of your New Testament, right before the book of James, Hebrews, right before the book of James, right after the book of Philemon, if you find those T books, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, then you got the book of Philemon, then Hebrews, right before the book of James. Hebrews, chapter number 9. So we all have the ability to be saved, right? When do we lose the ability to be saved? Well, guess what? Everyone will lose their ability to be saved at this moment. Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. I want you to see it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. The Bible says this. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You see that? And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, if you reject His gift of eternal life, if you reject the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you say, I don't want to be saved. You say, I don't know. You say, I'm going to trust in my works. I'm going to trust in my church attendance. I'm going to trust in the things I've done. Hey, good luck with that. But the Bible is very clear. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So guess what? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Everybody has the opportunity to be saved up until the moment they die. And if you die guilty of sin, guess what? Your name's blotted out. Because what did he say? Whosoever sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Right? Now you say, well, Christians sin and Christians die. Well, let's correct a little bit of your thinking there. Go to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Hey, Pastor, this is way too much Bible. You probably haven't read your Bible all week, if that. So we're just trying to get it all in there right now, okay? Just trying to cram it in. Romans chapter number 4. Look at verse 8. Romans chapter number 4, verse 8. You say, well, Christians sin. Yeah, but here's the difference between someone who's saved. Romans chapter 4, verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Do you see that? That word impute means to lay responsibility or blame. To credit a person. See, the Bible says, blessed is the man who the Lord will not impute sin. See, we sin, but when you got saved, guess what? I'm no longer responsible for that sin. Now, please understand this, because I don't want... Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there? That's not an excuse to just go, oh, I'm not responsible for sin. I'm going to go do whatever I want. Good luck with that. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let me tell you something. The chastisement in the hand of God ought to be enough to scare you to not sin. But the Bible does teach that when you got saved, my sins are not imputed unto me. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ took my sins on the cross. Does that make sense? He took my punishment. He took my sin. So guess what? When God looks at me, He doesn't see a sinner. He sees Jesus Christ. He sees His righteousness. God's righteousness was imputed unto me. My sin was imputed unto Him. So guess what? I'm not a sinner in the sense that I'm in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm a sinner in my flesh. We understand that. But because I'm saved and I'm in Christ, I'm not a sinner. And only those who sin will have their names blotted out of the book of life. Not only that, but what were the two things? You had to sin to get your name blotted out, and you had to cross the line of death, right? You say, well, what about Christians? Don't they die? Well, you've got a wrong understanding of the word death. Go back to Revelation real quickly. We got to do this fast. Oh, good night. It's on. We've got time. What are you trying to rush me for? Revelation chapter number... you say, Pastor, we're not rushing you. Yes, you are. Revelation chapter 20, okay? Revelation chapter 20. Let me show you these verses here. Verse 14. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. Revelation 20, 14. The Bible says this. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is referring to hell. It says they were cast into the lake of fire. Notice, this is the second death. You ever heard of a second death before? See, when we think of death, we think of a physical death. One day this body's going to die. God says there's more to death than just a physical death. He says that's just the initial death. That's the first death. He says after that, there comes a second death. You say, what is the second death? Look at verse 14, Revelation 20, 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. What is the second death? Being cast into the lake of fire. Look at Revelation 21, 8. Revelation 21, 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Notice, the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, colon, which is the second death. What is the second death? The lake of fire. Now, please misunderstand me, and let's correct a few things. And I've done this myself, so I'm not pointing any fingers at you, because I've done this myself. As Christians, we have the tendency to say there is a physical death, and then there is a spiritual death. And we'll say the physical death is the first death, and the second death is a spiritual death. Now, one of these days, I'll preach an entire sermon on the subject of hell and the lake of fire, and we'll go through that very thoroughly and explain that. But you got to understand this. The lake of fire is a physical death, too. Let me just show it to you real quickly. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. They're being resurrected. Okay? These are unbelievers, but they're being resurrected. And they're being thrown into the lake of fire, both body and soul. Does that make sense? So the second death is not a spiritual death. The second death is the lake of fire. It says, the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What's the second death? What's death? It's being in the lake of fire. As a Christian, we won't have to suffer that. You're there in Revelation chapter 20. Where are you? Revelation 20. 21:8. Go to Revelation 26. Revelation 26. We're almost done. We're almost done. Just stick with me. We're almost done. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Look what the Bible says. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Look what it says. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That's talking about the rapture. On such, the second death hath no power. Do you see that? But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So if you take part of the first resurrection, the second death has no power upon you. If you're saved, guess what? You will never experience the second death. And more particularly, you'll never experience death. Go to Revelation real quickly. Let's see. Chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. Verse 11. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 11. Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 11. The Bible says, Revelation chapter number 2 and verse 11 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh. We know what that means now, right? That's salvation. He that overcometh, look what it says, shall not be hurt of the second death. Do you see that? Now here's what you got to understand. Let's see. Let's just do it. Go to 2 Corinthians real quickly. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. I've got so much in my notes, I'm going to have to skip some of it. But let's just look at these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, look at verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, look at verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians 5, 8, it says, we are confident... This is what the Apostle Paul said. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You see that? Paul said that if I'm ever absent from this body, he said, I'm not going to experience death. You know why? Because I will be present with the Lord. Go to John real quickly. John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter number 11. Look at verse number 25. John chapter number 11 and verse number 25. John chapter 11 verse 25. The Lord Jesus Christ is at a funeral for one of his friends. John chapter number 11 verse 25. Wouldn't you like Jesus Christ to do the eulogy at your funeral? That'd be nice, huh? John chapter number 11. Look at verse number 25. He's speaking to Martha, the sister of Lazarus who's dead. And in John 11 25, the Bible says, Jesus said unto her, this is what he says to her at the funeral. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Because he's getting blamed. Martha's saying, Lord, if you would have been here earlier, you could have healed him and he wouldn't be dead. Because Jesus took his time to get to the... And by the way, let me tell you something. If Jesus is late, don't correct him. He's there at the right time. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. She says, if you would have been here, Jesus, he'd still be alive. And he says, let me correct you. I am the resurrection. He says, and the life. Look what he says. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Look at verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You see that?
Amen.
Believest thou this? Notice, yeah, I like how he answered that question. He said, do you believe that? He said, well, he's dead. He said, he's not dead. He's just in heaven. But he's dead. No, to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. Here's what you got to understand. Christians never die. If Pastor Jimenez dies of high blood pressure, which I'm being told I have sometimes, or low blood pressure, or something, I don't know. If I died and you had a funeral and my body was right in front of you, you know, here, you guys better show up and do a lot of crying, okay? But if my body was there, you would walk by and you would say, he was so young and he's dead. And you say, he was so handsome and he's dead. And you would say, he was so talented. That's what you're going to say, right? And he's dead. You're somewhere here, man. He's on me. I'm glad he's dead. Shouldn't say it. You're going to say he's dead, but here's the thing. I'm not dead. I'll be in heaven. I'm going to be playing tag with the angels. I'm going to be looking down and saying, look at those guys. They're funny. This view makes them look a lot fatter. You say, see, Christians don't die. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? We don't go through death. The Bible tells us the moment you take your last breath on earth, you'll take your first breath in heaven. You'll never experience death. So guess what happens? Your name never gets blotted out. Because sin's not imputed unto you and you never die. But there's another way that your name can be blotted out. Go to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. We're almost done. That's the second time I said it, okay? So we've got at least three more times of me saying that before we're actually done. Revelation chapter 22. If we do this faster, we could be done faster. Revelation 22, verse 19. Revelation 22, verse 19. Look what it says. Revelation 22, 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, is that person dead? No, they're not. Because they're doing something. What did they do? They took away from the words of the book of this prophecy. Now I want you to notice something. You get your name blotted out of the book if you cross a line of no return, which is death, and your sins are imputed unto you. But even while you're physically alive, the Bible says, there are certain lines you can cross that God says you'll never have an opportunity to be saved. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about this. We preached about it just Wednesday night in Romans chapter number 1. We're dealing with the subject of a reprobate, so I'm not going to go through that a lot. But I just want to give you a few things to think about. The Bible is very clear here. It says, if any man, and if you don't agree with what I'm saying, that's okay. We can still be friends, but here's all I would say. Then you explain this verse to me. It says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, talking about the book of Revelation specifically, but the entire Bible. He says, if any man shall take away from the books of this prophecy, he said, God, this is what God said. God said, you want to mess with my Bible? You want to remove verses out of my Bible? You want to move around the things that I've said? He said, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Now notice, his part. So he said, the location where your name would have been written, that location will be ripped out. Because this is what God says. You mess with my book, he said, you cross the line. He says, you can never be saved. This is very clear in Scripture. I don't understand why this is so controversial for people to understand. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, you take the mark of the beast, you'll be damned for eternity. Okay, so we know that there are certain things you can do that cause you to never be have the opportunity. Now, does that mean you'll lose your salvation if you're saved? No, because if you're saved, you wouldn't mess with God's book. And if you're saved, you wouldn't take the mark of the beast. If it were possible, remember, it's not possible. When we're talking about individuals who are not saved, they cross a line, they mess with God's book. God says, you mess with my book, I'll take your name out of the, your parts out of the book of life. Let me just give you a few things to think about. Go to Hosea real quickly. Hosea, because people say, well, God doesn't do that. You get a chance to be saved up until you die. You can believe that if you want. But let me tell you something. There are certain people in this world that just take it too far, that just go too far, reject God too much, and God says, you crossed the line. He said, I'm just not going to mess with you anymore. Let me show it to you. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. But just, you got to do something with these verses. Hosea chapter 4, verse 17. Hosea, right after the book of Daniel. If you find those big books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Right after Ezekiel, you got the book of Daniel. Right after Daniel, you got the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter number 4, look at verse 17. Hosea chapter 4, verse 17. Look what it says. This is what God said. This is what God said. Ephraim is joined to idols. Go get him saved. Is that what it says? Ephraim is joined to idols. Go preach to him. Did he say to Jonah, go preach to Ephraim? Did he say to Isaiah, go preach? Did he say to Jeremiah, go preach? Did he say to Hosea, go preach? Notice, there's a book of Hosea, right? Hosea's a prophet. Look what God said to Hosea, a prophet. He says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Do you see that? You know what God is saying? He's saying, you know, I've already given up on Ephraim, so don't worry about it. Just leave him alone. Go preach to other people. Isn't that interesting? Well, God gives everybody a chance. He didn't give Ephraim a chance. Go to Matthew. Look, if you don't agree with what I'm saying, we can still be friends. I'm just telling you, you got to do something with these verses. They're in the Bible. Well, the Baptists don't teach. I don't care what the Baptists teach. What does the Bible say? Matthew chapter number 12. Look at verse number 31. Matthew chapter number 12. Look at verse number 31. Matthew 12, verse 31. Matthew 12. We're almost like, well, we're getting there. Matthew chapter 12. Look at verse 31. Matthew 12, verse 31. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Look what the Bible says. Are you there yet? Matthew 12, verse 31. Wherefore, I showed these verses I'm going to show right now. I showed them on Wednesday night. But I just want you to see them again. Wherefore, I say unto you. This is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto them. He says, look, I forgive all manner of sin. I forgive all manner of blasphemy. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. You see that? He said, I'll forgive a lot of things, but I won't forgive this one. Look at verse 32. This is what Jesus said. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Jesus Christ just told us that there are people who have done certain things. He said, you cross the line. He said, I won't forgive you in this world. I won't forgive you in the next world. You know what he said? You know what happened to that person? Their name was removed out of the book of law. That's what the Bible says. I understand a lot of people don't like to hear that, or it's very controversial or whatever. But if you don't agree with what I'm saying, here's what I'm saying to you. Then teach me what that verse means. Let me show you another one. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, look at verse 11. Mark chapter 4, look at verse 11. Mark chapter 4, I'm just giving you things to think about. We've got to be loyal to the Bible. Well, I was taught that your name gets ran in, but the Bible never mentions that. Well, I was taught that Jesus, you get a chance all the way up until you die. But the Bible says there are certain people that He won't forgive. The Bible says there are certain people that mess with His Word and He removes their part. The Bible says there are certain people that reject Him and reject Him and reject Him. And eventually He gave them up to a reprobate, rejected mind. Are you there in Matthew chapter 4? Look at verse 11. Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 11. Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, and He said unto them. Now look at verse 10. The Lord Jesus Christ has got done teaching a parable. And in verse 10 it says, and when He was alone, they that were about Him with the 12 asked Him the parable. So they come to Him and they say, hey, we got a question about this parable. Can you explain it to us? Verse 11. And He said unto them, this is what He said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. He says, look, I'm going to explain it to you. Unto you it is given to know. He said, it's a mystery, but I'm going to explain it to you. But, do you see that? Verse 11. But unto them that are without, referring to the Pharisees, the same people that He just told you, blaspheme the Holy Ghost, I'm not going to forgive you in this world or in the world to come. Look what He says. Unto them that are without, All these things are done in parables. Either I'm preaching in parables because I don't want them to understand it. I'll explain to you, but I don't want them to understand it. Look at verse 12. This is an amazing verse in the Bible. This is Jesus Christ on earth. Notice what he says. He says that seeing, they may see and not perceive. You see that? He said, they see me. He said, they physically watch me preach. He said, I want them to see me, but I don't want them to perceive. And hearing, they may hear. He says, they hear me physically preach. But, and it says, and hearing they may hear and not understand. You see that? He said, I want them to see me, but not perceive what I'm saying. I want them to hear me, but not understand. Lest at any time, that word lest means unless. He says, I want them to see me and not perceive. I want them to hear me and not understand. Unless at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Did you just catch what he said? He said, I'm speaking in parables because I want them to see me and not perceive. I want them to hear me and not understand because I don't want them to be converted and be forgiven. He says, I have to do it in parables unless they be converted and their sins be forgiven. You know what he just said? He says, there are people on this earth. Jesus Christ said, there are people on this earth who I do not want to be converted, who I do not want their sins to be forgiven. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because certain people cross certain lines that causes their name to be removed out of the book of life. Can I show you just two more passages? Are we okay? Good night. Luke chapter 10. Let's do it. Nobody said yes, so I said it in my head. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Look at verse 20. Just real quick. We're in the conclusion. Look, conclusion. All right? Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. You say, Pastor, this is not how I'm used to churches being. Well, we just flip it at our church. The average church, you have an hour of singing and 20 minutes of preaching. At our church, we have 20 minutes of singing and an hour of preaching. Okay, so it's just the same thing. You just got to get used to it. Luke chapter number 10, look at verse 20. Luke chapter number 10, verse 20. You say, why do you do that? Because when you're going through trials and tribulations, the song may not help, but the word of God abideth forever and ever. Luke chapter number 10, look at verse number 20. Luke chapter number 10, verse 20. The apostles had just gone out. Jesus gave them power over spirits, and they're healing people. They're doing all sorts of wonderful things. They come back to Jesus Christ. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 20. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Look at verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing by any means hurt you. So he says, I'm giving you power to do these things. By the way, I don't have time to develop this. I preached it before. Those were the apostles. Those were people that God specifically today. There are people who say, if the Apostle Paul can be bit by a snake and survive, then I should be able to do. Hey, you go ahead and try that if you want, but I don't think it's going to work out. Look at verse 20. Notwithstanding, look what he says. He said, I gave you power to do all these things. Verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. He says, don't rejoice at the fact that you have power. He says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. He says, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Do you see that? You say, sometimes as Christians, things are going good. Things are going, we're being successful. The church attendance is high. The offerings are high. The job's good. I just got a raise. My wife, and I are getting along. Or you say, my husband and I are getting along. My kids are obeying. Or things are just going good. And this is what Jesus Christ says. Be careful you're not rejoicing over good things happening. Because good things could stop happening. Remember Job? He says, rejoice rather that your name is written in heaven. See, that's constant. See, the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Philippians, the Bible tells us, not the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Bible tells us, you don't have to go there, turn there, but it says this, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. God expects you to rejoice, and you got to rejoice in this constant thing. My name is written in heaven. I'm saved. You say, I just got a raise. Great. Rejoice in the fact that your name is written in heaven. You say, I just got married. Great. Rejoice in the fact that your name is written in heaven. I just bought a new house. Great. Rejoice in the fact that your name is written in heaven. Guess what? Because when the marriage fails, or when the children leave, or when the house is foreclosed upon, your name is still written in heaven. Amen. See, people walk around and say, well, I don't understand. Look, let me tell you something. The worst day of a believer is better than the best day of an unbeliever. Because at the end of it all, my name's written in heaven. I'm not going to go to hell. And that's what you ought to rejoice at, that constant. That's why the Apostle Paul was able to say, he said, I have learned, and whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He said, it doesn't matter if it's good, if it's bad, if it's mediocre, I'm always content. Why? Rejoice in the Lord always. Why should we rejoice? Because your name's written in heaven. Now go to Revelation chapter 20. We're done. We're done right here. Revelation chapter 20. This is where we started. You know we're done because remember I said we were going to finish where we started. Revelation chapter 20. You said, I didn't catch that. That's when you were sleeping. Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 11. Say, we ought to rejoice that our names are written in heaven. Yes, but not only that. We ought to be burdened for those whose names are not written in the book. Are you there in Revelation chapter 20? Look what it says. Verse 11. This is a future event. This is what's referred to as the great white throne judgment. Look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Notice, the earth and the heavens fled away. There's no place for them. Everybody is at this great white throne. You've got to be there because there's nowhere else to be. The heavens and earth fled away. Look at verse 12. Every person who's ever lived is there. And I saw the dead, small and great. Now that's not referring to the fact that like short people and tall people. He's saying rich people, poor people, powerful people, not powerful people. He says everybody was there. I saw the dead, small and great. Look what it says. Stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Verse 13. And just let me say this. So somebody's going to bring this up, so let me just go ahead and say it right now. According to their works. Somebody's going to come up to me and say, see? It's according to their works. Work of salvation. Now hold on a second. God says if you want to be judged by according to your works at all, I'm more than glad to oblige. He said, you want to be judged by your works? I'll judge you by your works. He opens up the Bible and he says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. There is none that seeketh after God. Hey, you're taking a chance. If you say you want to be judged because of the good things you do in your life, because guess what? You've got a lot more bad things you've done than the good things you could ever think of doing. You say, well, I'm not going to be judged for the good things I've done. I don't want to be judged for my works. That's not a fight I want to battle. I want to be judged for the good things Jesus Christ did. Give me His righteousness. Let Him take my sin. But these people say, no, I'll go ahead and you can count my, I went to church, I got baptized, I went through the discipleship course, I did this, I did that. Here. Sure, I'm pretty good. And God's going to say, man, you're going to come up wanting. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look what it says. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their works. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, that's their physical bodies, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, that's the souls. So the bodies meet the soul, look what it says, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whoso however, was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Let me tell you something. While you're rejoicing about your name being written in heaven, why don't you start being burdened about somebody's name not being written in the book? Because the Bible says there will come a day when we stand at the great white throne. And I won't stand before the throne, I'll probably be behind it. But we will be there. And we will watch every human come up that was not saved. And here's what God's going to say. He's going to open His books, the books of the Bible, and say, well, you didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You sinned. He's going to open the book of life. Your name's not found written in the book. You're cast into the lake of fire. Let me tell you something. We will witness that. You have a neighbor. You have a co-worker. You have a grandmother or a grandfather or an aunt or an uncle or a brother or a sister or an in-laws. Maybe the in-laws you won't worry about. But you got a lot of people. That's not good. That you know that maybe aren't saved. And if their name is not found in this book,
Bible says they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Let me tell you something. At the great white throne, all your little excuses that you have that you think are so good, I can't go soul winning, Pastor. You don't understand. It's the only day I can do my gardening. You're going to look really dumb on the great white throne judgment day. You don't understand, Pastor. It's the only, you know, I work 5 days a week. Yeah, you're the only one. It's the only day I've got off. At the great white throne judgment, all our excuses will look dumb. And I wish, while we're going through this life, that we would learn to rejoice. Why? Because our names are written in heaven. But at the same time, why don't we get burdened about the fact that there are people dying and going to hell if their name's not found written in the book of life? Hey, let's get burdened about that. That's why we do all the stuff we do around here. That's why we go soul winning. You know, that's why we're out soul winning. Maybe, you know, the guys, just all of us combined, the guys and the ladies, all of us combined, we're probably out soul winning 12 hours this week. And if you count man hours, it's more like probably like 36 man hours. I mean, we had a lot of people. We had 8 people out soul winning multiple hours this week, knocking on doors, inviting people to church, preaching the gospel. You say, why? Because there's coming a day of judgment. There's coming a great white throne. And we want to teach them what the Bible says so that their names will not be blotted out. That's why we do what we do. That's why we baptize. That's why we disciple. The Bible says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's what the Bible says. That's the Great Commission. That's our job. Why? Because of this day right here, when the books open, and if the name's not found written in it, they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. Lord, thank you for the fact that there is a place in Sacramento, California. I know there's places and there's other good churches out there, but at least there's a church here that preaches the Bible, that teaches the Word. And I know that this morning's sermon might not have been the most encouraging or the most uplifting, but Father, we need to just understand that we've got to read our Bibles and we've got to know why we believe what we believe. Not just believe things or say things because of man's traditions, because that's what I was taught. No, what does the Bible say? Father, I pray you'd help all of us to have learned something from your word. I pray you'd bless everybody who's here this morning. I pray you'd bless the rest of the day. In your precious name I pray. Amen.